We're talking about the power of legacy, and this is Legacy Sunday, and we're doing something a little bit different today. We're gonna have a family talk. Is that all right? And we're gonna have a little family talk, and so these guys are interior designers, and they're incredible, next level, and I'm having Jamie come on out with us, and we're gonna have a family talk together about legacy. We're gonna start a series. This is your cue.
Late as usual.
Welcome.
Your favorite quality of mine.
This is my wife, Jamie. And if you didn't know already, and we want to do this together for a couple different reasons. We want to really talk about legacy, how to start legacy, really how to pick up or even to rescue your story wherever it is in the journey. And we're going to talk about some of these things from our own lives, from our own stories. But more than anything, our goal today is for God to fill you with hope and to fill you with vision for what God's going to do through your life. Whether you're single, married, whether you've been married, whether you're doing great, or whether you have some shame and regret, God is going to meet you in your story today, and I believe fill you with some vision for what he is about to do through you. I want you to go, if you have your Bibles, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is going to be a series that we start that we're going to be doing together. We haven't done this for a really long time. And so this is fun. We get to hang out up here. And y'all get to be a part of our little conversation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess." So God gives them things to teach, to instruct, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life.
Best part.
Man, that's when we were talking about this, Jamie's like, yeah, that's perfect. I like that. I like the long life. And I'm like, it's not just the long life. You have to obey his commands. All right.
Welcome to our relationship.
We have to both obey his commands to enjoy a long life. God will use, and this is the truth, God will use whatever you have left and turn it into legacy. Mm-hmm. It's easy right now, even as we begin to talk about godly legacy, you look at the past or you look at mistakes or look at what you've left. But God will use, and this is, he's a master. Yeah. He is a master at using what you have left and turning it into legacy. He's the great redeemer and he's the great restorer.
Yes.
He's the great restorer. We just heard Val's incredible testimony of how God interrupted her legacy and to created that legacy, her and her husband right here in Allen. And I don't know if you saw the drawing in the video. That actually was something she drew as a single young lady on the foundation of this building when we were building it, believing and declaring that God would do something in her legacy.
I think sometimes it's so easy to focus on what we've lost or what's left us. Or mistakes and regrets, and we can't move forward looking back. We just can't. And I don't want to always look back. There are so many things I would do different, right? So the people up here talking are not up here saying like do it everything we ever did, right? Like we have our own regrets. I have so many things in my life, like Val was talking about in the video, that just I would go back and do different. I think there needs to be a point in time, and there can be a point in time where we say, oh, that's gonna stop now. And I'm going to start something new, no matter what's been done to me, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've been through. I was with Val in the very beginning. She had to learn how to forgive. She had to learn how to trust people. She had to break off relationships. She did the hard work. She did intentional hard work. She didn't just get sprinkled with the legacy fairy. I wish. Right? I wish an angel could just dust us all with legacy. But I always say I have the best intentions ever. Like, I'm the queen of good intentions.
We don't really believe in fairies. Maybe angels. Angels? I don't know.
I switched it to angel. Don't quote me on that. Fairies. I remember the vow doing this hard work of like intentions. And I always want to do the right thing. And I always want to text the people back. And I always want to be at all the parties. And I always want to be at the service on time. And I want to, and I really think I'm going to. But until we really get intentional about our legacy, and I sat with Val in the auditorium, I don't know, maybe a decade ago, where she was like, Jamie, this is getting too hard. It would be easier to go back, because Egypt always looks good after we've left it, right? When we're in the grind of legacy and godly living. And I remember her saying, like, this is getting hard. I remember the first text she sent me saying, I need to talk. Like, she immersed herself in intentional community and God and God's presence. And as she did that, she turned her whole life around. And now we have Caden, big fan, little baby Nash, little baby boy on the way. It could have been... Her story could have been very different.
Right.
And it's to her credit and intention of, I am going to not be a victim. I am not going to stay in the place that life has hit me. Because, oh, I love to stay where life hits me, right? I just love to take a nap for 2 years, right? And all of my trauma. The problem is, like, I also want to leave a legacy on the earth. And I also want to have impact. And I also have kids that I don't want being raised by a mom who's traumatized and sad and miserable and yell, you know, does this make sense? And so we have to, and this is what we're so excited about this month of legacy is like, we can do this. It doesn't matter. And we'll talk more about that as well. It doesn't matter what we've been through.
This is what we've been saying is what has been doesn't have to be what always is.
Right, yes.
So this is just, as we get started, and literally this is like Legacy 101 this week, but we're going to be walking in some of the deeper places over the next couple of weeks to really kind of unpack some of these dynamics, and some of it will be convicting and some of it will be challenging, but we're going to do this together, and this is how we start. Whatever has been doesn't have to be what always is.
Right.
So that means that things can change, that I can make a different decision with my legacy.
Yep.
In Joel chapter 2, there's this passage of scripture, and a lot of people, if you're an old timer around church, you've probably heard it. But I was studying this passage, and it's really interesting. Joel chapter 2, it says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You've heard this? And then it says the great locust and the young locust, the other locust, all the locusts, all right? Whatever they've done.
It's a locust.
Everybody, you get a locust.
You get a locust.
my great army that I sent among you, you have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Now, I think when we approach legacy, there's a lot of people who feel shame. Just because of what Jamie said, decisions that you could have made differently or things that happened to you. But this passage of scripture is interesting. It says that when the locusts destroyed the crops, they would eat the harvest, but not just the harvest. They would eat the harvest and then the seed of what they would plant to grow the next harvest. So you see that the plan of the enemy is not just to destroy you. The plan of the enemy is to destroy you and your seed, or you could say your family, or you could say your impact, your sphere of influence. The plan of the enemy is not just to mess with you. It's to, like Joel chapter 2, the locust to so eat the harvest that they eat the seed of what could still be. And this is what the Bible says. And he says, and I will restore.
Yes.
What the locusts have eaten. So God's not just going to change your legacy. He's actually going to restore to you years that have been lost, years that have been stolen. And he's going to restore not just for you, but the seed to reproduce, the seed to actually produce something beyond you. And that's what legacy is. Legacy is something that's beyond me. I'm not just living for me. Legacy is what kind of thing, what kind of impact does my life have beyond me? Verse 1 said this, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land. So this is what the Bible is saying in Deuteronomy. He's saying, I'm giving you things to do that you must teach to your children. So we want to enjoy the life. We want to get to enjoying life. But in order to do it, you're going to have to teach some things. So this is important. You have to do it. Jamie just said it with intentionality. Val said it on the video. She said, I'm not leaving my son's legacy to chance. So we say legacy doesn't happen by chance. Legacy happens by choice. Yes. So no matter where you are, no matter what age your kids are, you have to make a decision. We have to make a decision today. We're going to make a choice to leave a godly legacy. I was studying last night, and I was thinking about what I'm going to say, and I had this memory growing up. We lived on a big hill in Washington State, and I had this memory. My brother had an old fashioned Volkswagen Bug, like the old one, and I had this memory of it being like broke down in the field at the bottom of our hill. And I'm thinking, did he wreck it? I was trying to remember, and so I texted him last night. I'm like, whatever happened with your Volkswagen Bug? Like, why was it in the, I have this memory of it being in the field. And he said, well, it wasn't me. Casey, my sister, she was driving it and it broke down or something. And she had, the engine was dead. So it was in neutral. And with it being in neutral, she rolled all the way down the hill. Thank God there was no cars in the intersection, across the intersection, down the embankment and just into the field. That was my memory. His car in the field. You know what happens to a life without drive, purpose, any type of intentionality? You live in a state of neutral. And people think, well, if I'm just neutral, I'm safe. No, neutral always gravitates towards the lowest possible place. People say, I'm just going to let my kids decide. Don't let your kids decide. Your kids in neutral will always choose self, flesh, carnality, sin.
And donuts.
At least that's true in our house. It without intentionality, if we leave, you hear young people say, I'm just trying to find myself. I'm just like, well, finding yourself is an intentional act. Finding yourself is not, I'm going to stop everything. I'm going to hole up in the room for the next 3 months, watch Netflix and see if I can find purpose. Nope. In that place of neutral will leave you at the lowest possible place. So I have to, and this is important throughout our series, I have to engage intentionality at every level. These commands have to be taught intentionally. So when we talk about legacy, like what is a legacy? Because it says, do these commands, and these will be for your children's children. So this is like grandkids. This is my legacy continues on beyond me. And it says, and you may enjoy a long life. I want to enjoy life. I want my kids to enjoy life. I want to enjoy life with my kids. I want my kids to enjoy life with me. That happens by intentionality. You don't just get a good family by chance. You build a good home. You build a good atmosphere. You build a good marriage. And that's what we're going to be talking about over these next weeks of how the building blocks really of creating legacy.
And I don't think it's just regulated to children. And I just want to be really clear about that, because sometimes we can just think legacy is just if I have kids. Well, some people can't have kids. Some people choose not to have kids. Some people are estranged from their kids. Some people are single.
I thought you said some people are strange. But I got it now.
Strange or estranged from their kids, right? And so you have all these different like people in the room. Legacy is not regulated to when you have a baby. Legacy can be built young. I was 10 years old and a young adult walked in my house. My parents had a huge heart for young adults. They always had the young adults over. It's in my blood. I get it from them. Shout out ELC. I love you. And so this 27-year-old walked in and he just sat down on the couch. I'm a little kid. Nothing special about me. Just kind of like big teeth and weird and, you know, just sitting there. And he's like, Jamie, tell me, what's God doing in you? He was a missionary back from the mission field. What's God been doing you? I'm like, God can do something in me? Yeah. Like, I am a part of that man's legacy. Right. To this day, Dustin and I spend time with him and his family every year. I call him Uncle Sean. I speak for him in Kona. He's still a missionary. He still leads a YWAM base. And that was however many 40 years, I don't know. I don't do math. I'm 44, whatever. 20, thank you. 20 years ago. 30 years ago. He was just a young, we were both homeschooled. But think about this. He didn't have a kid. He didn't have a wife, right? He was just a missionary home. My parents were like, come over and inspire my kids, right? He's to this day, Uncle Sean. My kids know him. My husband's friends with him. I'm his legacy. He has three kids, Brennan, Reed, and Grace. But if he didn't have them, he'd have me. So it's not about a biological child. It's about who are you impacting? Who's going to remember us? What are we leaving on the earth, right? Pastor Steve has three kids, but if he didn't have them, he'd have us. So don't let this limit your influence. You can be 20 years old and inspire a 10-year-old, and you don't know who they're going to be. Joyce Meyer has kids, but if she didn't, she'd have Christine Kane. Like, we never know. And so it's the thought of, oh, this doesn't have to be just regulated. You know, my mom is, do I have time to talk about my mom? Of course, we can always talk about Connie. She's incredible. She's amazing. She's like the queen of my small rural town in Centralia, Washington. And she is just an incredible person. She has six kids, but she's also like, has mothered the whole town. And I mean, she like dives into oceans to save people literally from drowning. She goes up into Papua New Guinea and hand dug out canoes with snake bite kits to bring medical assistance to villages and Bibles. Like, she's wild. She's wild. I was walking through the gym in our hometown a while ago, and I was pumping iron, let's say.
We're going to do our best to be honest today.
I was tanning. And a man stops me in the gym and he says, oh, Jamie, I was just home like visiting. And he's like, Jamie, oh my goodness. And he, not like welcome home from the mission field, right? Because I was back from Thailand. He's like, Jamie, your mom. He said, your mom saved us. He goes, your mom saved my son's life. He goes, I think my son would be dead if it weren't for your mom. And my mom had gone over when his son was in a manic episode, and she brought him back. And I just remember thinking, like, whoa, that didn't cost any money. She had six kids of her own. There will be standing room only at that woman's funeral. All the kids are fighting over who gets to take care of her in her age or in her old age. Like, she will never see a nursing home because all of them are fighting, including my brother's wife, right? This is somebody who not just left a legacy in her children, but in a town, right? And that's possible for all of us. She was a homeschool mom, had nothing to give except her own heart and spirit to people. And now she is just like the most incredibly loved person. And it all started with intention.
Yes.
And finding her place.
Right. She's had intentionality her whole life.
Yeah.
To not let her life stop with her.
Exactly.
And if you want to leave a godly legacy, it's the switch that has to be flipped in your mind.
Right.
Is that I'm not living just for me.
Right.
That I'm living to make a difference in someone else's life.
Yes.
There is no better way. Honestly, there's no other way to live than a life that's poured out for other people. Yep. Culture will try to tell you something different, but this is why culture isn't happy. Right. This is why culture isn't fulfilled.
Exactly right.
Because a life that is poured out is a life that will really leave legacy and will actually find fulfillment. We said this, that you will leave some sort of legacy whether you try or not.
Yep.
It's your choice
True.
If it will be a godly legacy.
Yep.
And that's really what we want to talk about. You're going to leave a legacy. You're going to be known for something after you pass from this life. But it's your choice if it's going to be a godly legacy.
Yep.
And it is so important that we don't leave legacy to chance, that we don't leave legacy to culture, that we really are intentional with what we want to build. And that's what we want to talk about today and through this series. So I want to give you a couple commitments of a godly legacy. All right. We're going to start. This is Legacy 101. We're going to start from the very beginning, but I think it'll speak to every person, because if you don't start here, then you're going to have real problems in building this long term. And it's this: a commitment. Number one, a commitment to lead yourself. Yeah. It's a commitment to lead yourself. Now, when Jamie and I got married 17 years ago, I thought she was pretty fortunate for a lot of different reasons. One, she got to marry me, right? Two, I'm a pastor, so I could pastor her. Three, I'm a great fitness instructor, so I was her fitness coach. Four, I'm a great life coach, so I was her life coach. And so I'm thinking, man, she just has the best of all worlds. I mean, this is just like, and it's free. Like, I'm giving this to her.
He's not lying.
The second second part is what the embarrassing part.
This isn't a bit.
Real talk. The second part's the most embarrassing part because it took probably a decade for me to realize that wasn't my role. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in those roles, I'm trying to not just love, support, be a believer, encourager, be a protector. I'm trying to make her into something that she's not. So I love you, but I also love this future version of you that I can help you become if you allow me. Right? And I was in a meeting with Pastor Steve, and I don't know if he says this to anyone, so I don't know if anyone else has gotten this advice or if it was specifically saved for me. But he said, Dustin, you are getting in the way of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, whoa, that's heavy. He says, you are getting in the way of the Holy Spirit working on Jamie's heart every time you make an attempt to control, form, or make her into something that you want her to be. And I was offended at first because I like to think that I'm a great helper to the Holy Spirit, right? Like he's a helper. Maybe he needs help. And so I'm just going to help him form her. Like that thing sounds like a good deal. I'm being used by God. But I'm going to tell you this. If you are constantly trying to control others and abdicating self-leadership in yourself, it actually is a form of manipulation. So I had to have the blinders removed and to realize that the only person that I have the possibility or the power to control is me. Yeah. I want to control everything and everyone, but the only person that I actually have permission to control is right here. Right. And if I have not made a commitment to change myself, then I'm actually doing damage to what we have here. Legacy, it starts with me. Yeah. Legacy starts with you. It's the number one building block that we have on the foundation of what builds a legacy. It's legacy starts with me.
There's a Proverbs that says a man without self-control, right? Or a man out of not able to rule his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Mm. And I think like I can see everybody else's broken down city.
Right.
Like if everybody would just listen to me, everything would be perfect. Right. I could fix everything. But my job is me.
Right.
And I have to go to war with me. And I have to lead me, and I have to work on me, and I have to take me into the presence of God. And I have to look at my hypocrisy, and I have to look at my struggles, and I have to look at my, like, I am not a perfect 10. And I remember writing in my journal a long time ago, over and over and over ago, like, if nobody else ever changes, change me, God. If nobody
probably
else
like
ever
year three or four
changed.
Marriage.
Yeah, but that's about right. Yeah, probably about four. Yeah, you're four.
If he never changes, God.
Change me. But that is, I think, when we get in cycles of like hurt, you know, or when we get in that like pathology of pain, it's so easy to just like dwell and stop looking at ourselves. And I also know there are a lot of nuances to this. I know people are in difficult situations. I know people are in difficult marriages, co-parenting situations, lots of things happening in the room. We're going to speak to those things. So I'm not trying to just lead yourself and everything will be fine. I am saying this is where it starts, because we only really have control over ourselves. And I think as we do that, that involves vulnerability, right? That involves authenticity. That involves saying we're sorry sometimes, even when they should be saying sorry, right? My kids, you already know my mother. She was amazing. So I had a really good role model. And so I rarely like lose it with my kids or snap. But there was one morning that Genesis, my second born, it's always the second son, that was doing something. I just remember grabbing him and just be like, Genesis, like, I just need you to stop. I just need you to listen. I kind of like raise my voice, and we don't raise our voices in our family ever. We don't do that. And so it's a family rule. And so I remember Jude, my firstborn, who's really empathetic, got really teary. And but technically I'm their leader, right? Like I'm the boss of them. Like they should respect me. Then that's the mode we can get into sometimes with parenting and marriage. Like, but I'm the boss. Like I pay your bills, right? But I'm just like, oh no, like I just hurt both of them. And so I just stopped and I just said, I am so sorry, both of you. Like that is not what we do in this family. That is not how we act. And they were like, oh yeah, no problem. Okay. Wipe away the tears and they're off. But I think that is kind of the picture of we can get so locked into, I'm the boss. I'm the man. I'm the mom. I'm the whatever. And it's like, no, stop. We have to walk with humility,
yes,
even when it's hard.
Yes.
And it will be hard.
Yes.
In any relationship,
yes,
it will be hard.
I think that in our pursuit of being strong, at times we can be a little fake.
Mm.
And we try to put the best foot forward, and we try to be strong and all of these things. But there's nothing weak about being authentic.
Yeah.
And there's nothing weak about an apology. In fact, it takes great strength and great confidence to say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And you know what? Most people's apology is waiting on someone else's apology. Right? When they apologize, then I'll apologize. When they apologize, then I'll forgive them. No, friends, our responsibility is us. And we understand there are all kinds of different stories that are represented, but we have to take responsibility for us. Now, you might be further along in the journey, but if your journey didn't start with you, you're gonna malfunction at some point. It has to start with self-leadership and self-change. Godly legacy can begin with you or continue through you, but it can also stop with you.
Yeah.
Some of you have been raised in good legacy, but it will stop with you if you don't have intentionality and continue with humility, bring yourself before the Lord and change yourself.
Yeah.
There's some legacy building blocks that are so important. We'll talk more about these in the coming weeks, but these are just the basics. Like, I need a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
You need God.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave a godly legacy,
yeah.
I need a relationship with God. I need a biblical worldview. That means I have to look at the world through the lens of the Word of God, not through what's popular, not through what's culturally acceptable. I look at the world through the lens of the Word of God. What does God say? Which means I need to know His Word. I need to be in church. Y'all are hearing this in church. You need to be in consistent community, church attendance. These are legacy building. If you did an autopsy on someone that left a godly legacy, you would find all of these things. A biblical worldview, you would find them in church, raising kids in church. You would find a knowledge of the Word. You would find all of these things. So it's a commitment to self-leadership, but it's also, this is number two, a commitment to live out what you believe.
Yeah.
A commitment to live out what you believe. Now, it always gets quiet when we start talking about this, because this is really when we're talking about getting rid in our lives of hypocrisy, mm-hmm, in our homes. Hypocrisy in our homes. I grew up, and many of you know my mom and dad that have moved here now. My dad's on staff with us. And I grew up with a dad that was a pastor. And so we grew up with him preaching, see him preach every week. But I never knew a different dad. I didn't have a home dad and a pastor dad.
Right.
I didn't have a pastor dad and a sports dad. I'm still working on that one. It's a goal for me. And he was the same, which is a word we call congruent, which means that my life lines up in church, outside of church, at work, at home. Congruence means the quality or state of agreeing, coinciding, or being in harmony. Your life needs to be in harmony. We don't have different versions of ourselves. This is who we are. We don't like clean up our language on stage and swear at home. That's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I'm shocked how well behaved so many employees are for their bosses, but how we behave differently in our homes in front of our kids and with our family. You won't call your boss that name because you don't want to get fired, but you'll call your wife that name. See, that's hypocrisy. It's a disconnect in our values. You'll speak down to your kids, but you'll mind your manners around your boss. Your value system has to be completely redone. So I grew up with an example of congruence. And this is what this commitment is. Legacy building blocks. I have to have a commitment to live out what I believe. Pastor Steve always says this. The life you lead is the legacy you leave. The life you leave is the legacy you leave. I have guys still to this day all the time, like, Pastor, you need someone to hang out with and just be real with. You know, if you want to just like go out and just swear, or you want to go out and drink, or you want, like, I'm your guy. And I'm like, good to know. I don't do different versions of me. And I'll tell you why. Not because I'm great. Why would I give myself an allowance to do something that I'm putting a restriction on my kids not to do? That doesn't make sense to me. I'm teaching them that to do what I say, not what I do. Good legacy is modeled, not taught.
Right.
You can teach it till you're blue in the face. Yeah. But if you don't model it, they will not follow it. It has to be followed.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy in the home breaks down legacy piece by piece.
Yeah.
I want to jump to the third one. We'll leave that one alone. Okay, we'll touch on that more a little bit more later. I want to jump to the third one because this is really important. The third building block is commitment to love God first. Did you know that your first ministry, everyone would say without fail, usually people say, oh, first ministry to our family. And that's actually not true.
Right.
Your first ministry actually is to God. Your first ministry is to Him. In fact, you can never love someone completely, fully, or adequately if you don't first love God with all your heart. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, a priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. You know, me and you, we're priests. And the Old Testament priests, their number one job was to minister to God. Their number one duty was to minister to God. Their second job was to represent God to others. When I minister to God first, it will actually equip me to minister to others in my life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. I can't love my neighbor or my kids or my wife, or people that I can't really love them with all my heart until I love Him first. I love Him first. Your first ministry is to the Lord. I love my family the best by loving God the most. By loving God the most. You want to talk about just your own journey? Jamie was a missionary in Thailand for a couple years. But tell just a little bit about that journey.
I was 22.
With a mic.
Oh, I was 22. I was going back in time. And I worked at Microsoft. It was cool before Apple came on the scene. Up in Redmond, Washington. And I was dating a nice, normal guy.
Average.
We don't speak ill of the exes.
Notice it was plural.
Touché. that was good. You're cracking me up. I was working in Microsoft and just normal life, just headed for the American dream. And I was raised in church. I was like a good kid. I never did anything crazy. I was just kind of like the most normal. And I also never knew that I could like have an impact on the world. I kind of was always just like, I just, you get married, you have kids and you try and retire, right? And I just didn't know. And I remember sitting in my office in Building 8 and I just got this wave of like, and maybe some of you even are getting it today, just this wave of like, is there more to life? Like, is this just life now? Like money and boys and stuff? Right? I want stories, not stuff. Right? And I just remember the wave of kind of emptiness and just like God. And I was a Christian. So you can be a Christian and still not intentionally going after legacy. And I was just like, there must be more. And at that moment, my Uncle Sean, who I spoke about when I was 10 years old, him and his wife happened to call me and were like, Jamie, you should just give God a year. Give God a year. You should just give God a year. And I was like, I think I will. And I quit the job and I ended the relationship and I sold the Saturn with the Dave Matthews Band sticker on the back. And I headed to, and I headed onto the mission field and I never looked back until I came back to Mary Dustin. And I spent years in Thailand and I spent years letting God break my heart for people, for the world, for the nations. I found out I could hear God's voice.
Yes.
That there was something special about me, that I'm not just here to suck oxygen. They're like, I'm here for a reason. There's a purpose I'm supposed to fulfill. There's something I can do that no one else can do. And God let, I mean, it's just, and I really, but it came with a full-on surrender.
Yes.
a full on breaking up with some stuff and full, God, if you're real, if you ever pray this prayer, he'll answer it. If you're real, do it. Yes. Take me, use me, change my life. And it's so cool because like he said, I was a missionary in Thailand and it was just like my heart and soul, Swadika. And it's so neat because this summer we're taking our two boys, 9 and 10, to Thailand for the first time. And so they're gonna see my Thailand legacy. Right. We're gonna meet friends there. Right. And I get to take my little bio legacies, right? To my spiritual legacy place. And this is what God does. Right. With surrender,
yes,
and giving our life up.
Yes.
We hold on so tight. And when we just give it up and say, God, do it, use me. I'm gonna believe you. I'm gonna commit to these things. I'm gonna start working on the building blocks. Like, I'm gonna say goodbye to some stuff. I'm happiest, so happy most days.
You could do such a good, you could do such a good job.
Yeah.
Trying, this is what Jamie just talked about. She was successful. She was doing well. All the things that she should have, she had. And yet, there was purpose that hadn't been discovered.
Yeah.
And as we start this, no matter where you're at, maybe you have a great godly legacy already, or maybe you have just kind of like a broken story. Mm-hmm. No matter where you're at on that journey, mm-hmm. we all have to start at the same place today.
Yes.
That it starts with me, right? That self-leadership.
Yeah.
That I have to have a commitment to have congruence in my life. But my commitment, my third commitment is that I have to love God.
Has to be God.
First.
It has to be God.
I have to surrender my life, my story, my legacy. That's what Val did. She surrendered her story to God. And God took that story and he's done something so powerful. And that story's just being written.
Right.
It's going to be from generation to generation that you're going to enjoy your life because you've taught these young people, these young kids, to follow these commands. That's legacy. Imagine what we would do in a church with people that are committed to really love God first. And I was praying and just thinking about how we would, through this series, then we'll go a lot more in depth on some of these things over the next weeks. But I was thinking about the story in the Bible of Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus. And, you know, he doesn't have a good story, doesn't have a good ending to that story at all. He betrays Jesus and he was so overcome with shame and regret. The Bible says he ended his life. He went out and hung himself. Yep. And such a sad story for such a forgiving Savior. Because Peter made the same decision.
Yeah.
You remember this?
Yep.
Jesus even told him, he said, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to disown me. And Peter said, I'll never disown you. What does he do? He goes and disowns Jesus. He starts swearing to a little servant girl that he never even knew Jesus. He betrayed him just as much as Judas did. And Judas, overcome with guilt, ends his life. Peter repents. He goes to Jesus. Peter is the same Peter that in the book of Acts, after on the day of Pentecost, stands up and preaches in the street, and over 3,000 people get saved in one day.
Yep.
That Peter made the same mistake Judas made.
Yes.
So don't tell me God can't take your story and flip the script and bring something beautiful out of maybe some really bad seasons or bad choices or bad decisions. And really, that's what we're here to say, is that wherever you are in this legacy story, God has a godly legacy that he wants to leave through your life, your influence, your life. And maybe you've made mistakes. Okay.
Yeah.
You can make a decision today.
Yes.
Do I live under the shame and regret of what I've done mm-hmm. or what people have done to me?
Yeah.
Or do I surrender this story to Jesus?
Yes.
Kevin Gerald, he's a pastor in Seattle, he says, you can't do anything about your history, mm-hmm. but you can do something about your legacy.
Mm-hmm. So true.
What's done has been done.
So
the family you were raised in was the family you were raised in. The lack of a dad, presence of a bad dad, whatever you had, that's what it was. But now, with God in your story, you have the opportunity to do something different. And on this Legacy Sunday, I want to declare over you and your family that God's starting something new.
Amen.
You're saying, Pastor, I don't know what God's going to do with my story. He's going to do something that'll blow your mind if you would allow him. Well, I'm single. I don't know. No, God will use your purpose, your life skills and giftings to make an impact on a 10-year-old in a living room that would go on to pastor a great church, on a young adult that was lost and broken, but God heals her heart and now is raising a godly family. God's the restorer and redeemer of everything that has been lost.
Yes.
And on this Legacy Sunday, I want you to have hope. You're saying, Pastor, you don't know the condition of my marriage. I don't. All I know is the power of our God. Mm-hmm. And that he can take something that looks irreparable, that looks broken beyond repair, and he can turn around and he can use it for his good. So as a team, we wrote a legacy declaration this week. And we're going to say it today together, but I want to challenge you. We're going to post on social media. We'll get it to you. I want to challenge you to say it every single day. That you would just begin to declare this over your legacy. Whether you're broken, whether you're single, whether you're married and you want to be single, or single and want to be married. Right? So, wherever you are, I want you to start declaring something over your legacy. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to declare this together. And you're going to see something happen.
Yes.
Is that hope is going to begin to form in your heart for the great thing that God is about to do. So I'm going to ask that you would stand up with me all across this place. And we're going to put it up on the screen. And I want to give you an opportunity to say it. And we're going to just say it together. I want you to say it out loud. I know it's the first time you're seeing it, but I want us to say it together. Because there's something powerful about what you declare over your life. You know, I said this in the beginning, Val wrote on underneath this sheetrock on the foundation of this building is her handprint with a declaration that God would use her story. Before it was there, before she was healed, before there was any guy around, Caden hadn't graduated high school yet. So it's a joke, inside joke. God had to wait for the right time. But she began to declare something over her life and story that now she's walking in. Who knows what God will do through your story? So they're going to put it up on the screen. I want us to say it together. You ready? Can you see it? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Legacy starts with me. I will not leave it to chance. It's never too late. I'm never too young. I'm never too old. I can start today. Is it up there? All right, good. There is no story God can't redeem. There is no marriage God can't restore. There's no family God cannot heal. God's word will guide me. His Holy Spirit will lead me. And by the miracle working power of God, I will leave a godly legacy. Come on, how many believe that? I believe it. I feel the power of God in this room right now because God is the originator and the believer in godly legacy. There's something in you. There's something God has for you that's greater, that's better than what you've ever experienced. And even if you feel like I've already ruined my legacy, God is the great restorer. My kids are grown. I've made mistakes. Hey, God's the great redeemer and he's the great restorer.